God the Father has lavished every spiritual blessing on you, the believer in Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you again, do you know who you are?
Building mature followers of Jesus Christ.
Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Well, there is an expression that you have probably used at one time or another. And I would bet that maybe someone has said it to you even. I know it's been said to me before. I've said it to others. And that is this one. Sometimes when maybe someone is doing something, saying something that might seem to be a little above and beyond their standing in life, we may say something like this: who do you think you are? All right. Who here has said, who do you think you are, to somebody, right? Okay, who has had that said to them? Admit it. Come on, man. Yeah. Who do you think you are? Where someone is elevating themselves above and beyond perhaps what they, thinking more highly of themselves than they ought. Who do you think you are? Well, the reality is, that's a very good question we should be asking ourselves as believers in Jesus Christ. Who do you think you are? Not in a negative sense, but in a positive sense. Who do you think you are? Do you know who you are? And by the way, the glory isn't you and me in this. It's the glory is Jesus Christ. Do you know who you are in Jesus Christ? Who do you think you are in Christ? Well, we are starting a new sermon series today called Lavished. Lavished, Your Riches in Christ, in which we will be examining the great riches and blessings that we as believers in Jesus Christ have received. Taking time to reflect upon those, because as I said a little earlier, it's so easy for us to just take these things for granted, isn't it? And I think it's good for us to reflect upon these things and ask ourselves, do you know who you are? Who do you think you are in Christ? Our passage today tells us that God the Father has lavished every spiritual blessing on you, the believer in Jesus Christ. To lavish means what? To bestow something in generous or extravagant quantities. Just overflowing. And the Scripture says that He has lavished His riches on us in Christ. You know, I once heard a very interesting definition of an appetizer. It was said this, that an appetizer is what you eat before you eat in order to make you hungry. Isn't that strange? We go, that's so American, really, in some ways, isn't it? That we'll go to a restaurant and eat a little something first just to make us, to get hungry to eat. Well, I'm hoping that today's message, if you will, is like the appetizer for this series that will make us hungry to eat more, to make us hungry to eat more of God's Word and God's truth. This passage, Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14, is actually in the original language of the New Testament, the Greek there. It is one big long sentence. And this is actually like Paul. Paul, he would speak, he would be dictating these things. Someone would be writing it down, and his mind would just start to flow from one glorious thought to another. And that's what this is, one flowing, glorious thought about the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. And Paul tells us these things because he wants us to praise God. It's the reason that we ought to praise God. God is to be praised because of all the spiritual blessings that He has given believers in Jesus Christ. I think it's important for us to understand, too, before we look at this, that having received all these blessings in Jesus Christ does not mean that God has guaranteed a trouble-free life, does it? God never promised that. And I know many of us here have struggled with great difficulties, which is why it's all the more important to remember the riches, the blessings we have, the spiritual blessings we have in the heavenlies So I pray today will give you an appetite to eat more and digest more of these riches and blessings we have in Christ. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Paul says there, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory." Anybody feeling a little overwhelmed by all the thoughts, all the things coming at you there? But you could spend months and months and months studying this passage. We can spend a lifetime studying this passage and not exhaust its riches. As I said, today is an appetizer. I just want to point out to us here briefly some of these amazing riches, these blessings that you, the believer in Jesus Christ, have by faith. So that first one says, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Paul says that God is to be blessed. Blessed be him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To bless can have different meanings depending on its context. And this one here, to say blessed be God, blessed be, it means praise. Praise God. Lift up your praise. Now, when you praise something, the word praise literally means what? To speak well of, to speak highly of. That God is worthy of us speaking well of him, speaking highly of him, because of what he has done for us. For who he is, for what he's done for us. He is to be praised. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. This God who is to be praised is the one who has richly blessed us. And he has blessed believers with a couple of spiritual blessings, many spiritual blessings, a lot of spiritual blessings. He has blessed us what? With what? Every. All. Now, every means how much? All of it. So in other words, has God withheld any blessing, any good thing, any good gift from his children? No. All. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. These blessings are good gifts, riches of his grace, the benefits of knowing him. What does it mean when we're believers in Jesus Christ? You know, the moment that you believed in Jesus Christ, God did a lot of things. He gave you every spiritual blessing that could be given. It belongs to you now. Now, the reality is that we don't experience it in its fullness just yet, do we? We experience it in part. We know in part. But then we will know fully. We will experience fully. But we possess it now, all of it, by faith now. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing was all good things. God has withheld nothing good from His children. All good things, all spiritual enrichments, all that we need for the spiritual life. God has withheld nothing good from us. And so we have been blessed in Christ in the heavenly places. In Christ, that is a key term in the Scriptures, isn't it? Why has God blessed us with all of these things? Because we're such wonderful people, right? Because He looked down at us and He saw, boy, you guys are just so wonderful, so loving, so good, so kind. I'm just going to pour out all my blessings on you because you deserve it. No, that's not what Scripture teaches, does it? Now, Scripture says that actually we were rebels, weren't we? We were in denial. We were enemies of God. Moral rebels. But God overcame our sin and our rebellion in Jesus Christ. And He has blessed us in Christ. So the reason you and I have all of these blessings is not because we deserve it, but because of Christ and because we are united by faith with Him. We are in Christ. And so as God the Father feels about the Son, so He feels about you and has blessed you in Christ because we are united by faith with Him. In the heavenly places, that is, in the sphere of heaven, in the things that heaven declares to be of value and true importance and goodness and worth. So these blessings are heavenly, not earthly. Some have this idea that the blessings of God are, it's all about material blessings, right? That you believe in God and God just wants to just pour out all kinds of material blessing on you here and now. Now, I don't deny that God can and does choose to material bless some believers. But that's not the focus of this passage, saying these every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Not earthly blessing, heavenly blessing. Eternal things, not temporal, not the things of here and now, but things that are eternal and that will last forever. God has richly blessed you, the believer, in eternity past with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. And He did all this, as the text says, to the praise of His glory. He did it all so that His name might be lifted up and praised and glorified, that we would praise Him. So if you are a believer in Jesus, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. And when did God bless you? Before even the foundation of the world, before there was anything, God already knew you and loved you and had a plan of blessing for you, eternal blessing for you. With what did He bless you? With every blessing. Everything good has been given to you. How did He bless you? In Christ. In Christ. Not because you deserved it or I did. We didn't. And why did He bless you? That He might be praised. So the Father decreed the blessing, the Son obtained or procured the blessing, and the Spirit then applies that blessing to us through faith. So you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Scripture text also here tells us that you, the believer, you have been chosen. You've been chosen for a purpose, to be holy and blameless. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. He chose us. Now here is a text. There is a word that no doubt can incite all kinds of interesting theological debate and discussion. I've had a few discussions with some of you in here. I'm sure some of you have had discussions with others. What does this mean here when it says that God has chosen you, that he has chosen the believer? And I will simply say this. This is, of course, the doctrine of election, the doctrine of choosing. That this is something that the scriptures make very, very clear, that God chooses believers. But there's always been some debate, though, about how to understand that choosing. What does it mean? Is this work of choosing, and when did it happen? Before there was anything. What? Before the foundation of the world, God chose you, the believer. And on what basis did he choose you, the believer? Well, there are some who say that it is a sovereign work of God, that he sovereignly chooses some to believe, chooses some to bless in that way. But others, though, would say, well, it's this basis of this choosing is on God seeing faith ahead of time in you. Some would say it's God's sovereign choice. Others would say, no, God sees ahead who will believe, and he chooses them. Some also have an understanding of it, of a corporate understanding, if you will, that God has chosen all who would believe in Christ. Was that if you believe in Christ, he chose you in Christ to bless you in that way. So what do you think? What are we to make of this? Is it God's sovereign choice? Is it God looking ahead and foreseeing faith in you, in me who believe? Or is it a choice based on a corporate concept being in Christ? My answer to that is, I'll let you figure it out. So, good men and women of God have been debating about that one for thousands of years, and they will continue to do so until Jesus comes again. What is important for us to know is that before there was anything, God already knew you and loved you and purposed to bless you. So whatever you think the basis of his election is, the fact is he knew you and loved you before time and had plans for you to bless you before anything was. Amen? So he chose us in him, in Christ, when? Before the foundation of the world. But here's something that's important for us to understand too. He chose us for a reason. He chose us to do something with us. He determined that he would love you, that he would pour out his riches of grace upon you. But the text says what? He chose you, he chose the believer what? To be what? Holy and blameless. This is part of the riches of Christ. These are part of the every spiritual blessing in Christ. Namely, things like what? Well, being chosen, that is known and loved before time. Being chosen to be holy. That the Word of God says that when you are in Christ, when you are united with Him by faith, you are now holy. You have the very holiness of Christ Himself. And that's a gift that belongs to you, that you experience in part right now. But you will experience in full when? In his presence, right? When Jesus comes again, we'll experience the fullness of that. It says we are holy in him. To be holy is what? Is to be morally pure. God chose you to be morally spotless and pure, free of sin. Holy as he is holy. And blameless. You know that when you believed in Jesus Christ, your sins were forgiven. You were given a gift of holiness also, but then also blamelessness. Your sin will no longer be held or accounted against you at all. You will be cleansed entirely and purely, blameless in His sight. Isn't that amazing to think about that? Because some of us now, we feel weighed down by the constant battle with sin. Is anybody tired of waging the constant battle with sin? Well, one of the blessings is that battle will not go on forever and ever, because one of His riches of His grace is that you will be holy and blameless. We're not going to battle sin anymore. He sees us in Christ as holy and blameless. So you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. You have been chosen to be holy and blameless. And then also, you have been predestined for adoption. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. So what was God's motivation for doing this, for blessing you? Love. In love, He did this. You were elected, you were chosen. The purpose was that you might be holy and blameless. And now He says then too, you have been predestined. To be elected means what? To be chosen by God, however you want to understand that. But then we are also predestined. That is, there is an outcome, a destiny, which has been predetermined. And what is that predetermined outcome or destiny for the believer in Jesus Christ? Adoption. Predestined for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. His motivation is love. He established a course beforehand, if you will, namely our adoption as sons. And ladies, that includes you too. Because in the ancient world, to be adopted as a son, it meant certain things. It meant to be given the full riches and blessing of the Father being passed on to you. And so, men and women are adopted as sons, being given the full inheritance of the Father. Adoption. We become part of His family. You have a new Father, a heavenly Father, who determined, even before there was anything, that you would be His child. And He willed this, He did this, what? To the praise of His grace, in order that He might be praised. He did it all in order that it might bring Him praise. So you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. You have been chosen to be holy and blameless. You have been predestined for adoption, to be His child, to receive the full benefits of all that He has. And also, you have been redeemed and forgiven. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. To redeem, in the ancient world, that comes out of a term that, unfortunately, there were a lot of people who were slaves in the Roman Empire. But these slaves could be bought out of that slavery. They could be redeemed. Their freedom could be purchased. Redemption means to purchase someone's freedom from slavery. And so when the Scripture says that we have been redeemed, it means what? That we have been purchased out of slavery. Now in this case, what? Slavery to sin. Slavery to sin and death. And we have been purchased out of that, given freedom from that. Think about that for just a moment. Did you know that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are free from sin and death? Is there any greater enemy, any worse problem in the world than sin and death? No, it isn't. It's our greatest problem, isn't it? But Scripture says the believer has been redeemed, purchased out of that, set free. Well, I don't know. Don't believers still die? Don't believers still struggle with sin? Well, this is one of those things that Scripture talks about. It is the now but not yet principle in Scripture, right? That there are things that we have now and that we experience now in part, but not the fullness yet. Not yet. While we are in these mortal bodies, in these worlds, we are still subject to its pains, including physical death, including that struggle with sin within. But the reality is we have been ultimately set free from that in Christ, who triumphed over sin and death when he rose from the dead, when he rose from the grave. And so our physical death is not the end, is it? And our bodies will be raised in glorious power like his. Our struggle with sin will not last forever, but we will be set free from that. We have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, the forgiveness of our trespasses. To forgive means to not hold something against someone, to release a moral debt. God, a holy God, has something against sinful human beings. There is a moral debt that we owe. But Christ paid that debt so that we can be forgiven, not held in chains and bonds by that anymore. So you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. You've been chosen to be holy and blameless. You've been predestined for adoption. You've been redeemed and forgiven. You have also then been lavished. You've been lavished with the riches of his grace. The text says, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, to lavish this overpowering, overwhelming, extravagant amount. All the riches of his grace. It's grace because we don't deserve it, right? But because he is good and loving, because he is gracious, he has lavished gracious benefit upon us. Scripture also says then that we've been given knowledge of his will. We have been given knowledge of his will. It says, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In plain language, you know what this is saying? It says that you, the believer, you've been giving understanding of what God is up to in this world. You ever look at the world and you wonder what in the world is going on? Where's everything going? Does anything make sense? Well, the reality is yeah, it is going somewhere. There is a purpose and there is a plan. And one of our blessings is knowing that there is a purpose and there is a plan. And what is the purpose of all things? And what is the plan of all things? The summing up of all things in Christ. The lordship and the rulership of Jesus Christ over everything. That's the plan. And all the creation acknowledging that. That's the mystery of his will that has been made known to us. The uniting of all things in Christ. Things in heaven, things on earth. It's one of our blessings is to know what's going on. That's God's plan, uniting all things in Christ, that all will acknowledge Jesus Christ. So we've been lavished with the riches of his grace. We've been given knowledge of his will, the uniting of all things in Christ. And I like this one, been given an inheritance. But anybody here be excited? And it's funny, look, now you don't have to raise your hands on this one, okay? But how many of you would have to admit, as we look through these things, as we contemplate these things, sadly sometimes that we can be so consumed with the cares and the things of this world and this life, we don't get excited about this the way we should. And I'll put a little test out there. What if, how many of you would be excited? Again, you don't have to raise your hand. If you want to, you can. But if you went home today and you got a little message there that said, there was a long-lost relative you didn't know anything about who was a multimillionaire, and this long-lost relative has left you $50 million And so a lawyer will be, okay, we got a hand, an honest man. Diogenes has found an honest man. There he is. So, said, we're going to give you this. A lawyer will be in touch with you soon to make the transfer. How many would you be excited about that? That you're going to get these millions of dollars?
Yes.
And you know what? Some of us, we'd be more, you think, oh yeah, boy, wouldn't that be great? We get more excited about that than everything else I just read, don't we? Our hearts are so dull, aren't they? Because you know what, that million, I'm not saying that money is a bad thing or that it doesn't have its good purposes. It can be used for good things, can it? But what is it? What is it in the light of eternity? And what is it in the light of what we have in Christ? It is nothing. And yet our hearts go after things that are nothing compared to the riches we have in Christ. Well, here's the news. You did get a letter from a relative saying that you've got a great inheritance coming. The relative is your brother, Jesus Christ, who has an inheritance from his Father that he wants to share with you, that he wants to give to you. And what is it? It's everything good. Everything of eternal and lasting value and goodness. That's your inheritance. We're going to look a little more in detail about this in future messages here, but again, I want to give you that little appetizer here. An inheritance. And this has all been predestined, predetermined, what? According to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. God is the sovereign God, and nothing is going to stop Him from enacting His sovereign purposes. Nothing is going to stop Him from blessing you with this inheritance, which He has determined beforehand that He would give to you. So you've been lavished with the riches of His grace. You've been given knowledge of His will. You've been given an inheritance. And finally then too, you've been sealed. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. You heard the gospel. You believed the gospel. And when you believed, you were given the Holy Spirit. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit. What is a seal? Well, in the ancient world, a seal was a mark of ownership. There are several concepts that went along with the idea of a seal or being sealed. First of all, it was a mark of ownership. The Holy Spirit in you is God's way of saying, mine. You belong to me. It's a mark of ownership. Sealing also, though, brought protection and authority. So the Holy Spirit, His seal, is God's way of saying, you belong to me. You are under my protection and my authority. And this seal of the Holy Spirit is my way of telling you, the believer, that you're going to receive every bit of this inheritance that I've promised. We have not received all the inheritance in Christ yet, have we? It's ours now by faith to hear, yes, but not yet, now, but not yet. But we will receive it in its fullness, and the Holy Spirit is the guarantee, God's promise, that He's going to finish what He started, and He's not going to leave any of His children behind. And none of them are going to come up short. Why? Because He will complete the good work He has begun, and the Spirit is the guarantee, the seal, that we will receive the inheritance. Aren't you glad that this receiving of our inheritance isn't on account of us, on our efforts to continue on and be faithful? Now, Scripture calls us to persevere, to continue on, but even that is God's grace working in us, isn't it? God is not going to lose any of his children until we acquire possession of it. And all of this to the praise of his glory. The purpose of all of us, that he might be praised at how gracious and glorious of a God he is. Why? Because he deserves that.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. There you go. Excellent. You anticipated my next so what? That's it right there. Thank you, right? That's the so what? That ought to be our heart attitude. Why are we more excited about a letter that says you're going to get $50 million than we are about a letter that says you're going to receive every spiritual blessing for eternity? God, soften our hearts. Mold our hearts. God the Father has lavished every spiritual blessing on you, the believer in Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you again, do you know who you are? You're not anything. I'm not anything. But because we are in Christ, he is something, isn't it? So do you know who you are? A child of God? Every spiritual blessing in Christ. I think the only fitting response to that is praise, isn't it? Speaking well of him, lifting up his name, giving thanks. Like the man among us who said, "Thank you, God." That's the fitting response. That's the application of this text today. Thank you. Thank you, God. Let's pray. Lord, forgive us for our dull hearts. Hearts that are not always understanding and appreciative of all that we have, all that we are in Christ. Lord, we confess too often we do allow the things of this world, the things of this life to captivate our heart's affections. But God, we confess that for the sin of idolatry that it is, and acknowledge that you and you alone are worthy of our heart's affections. You are worthy because of who you are. You are worthy because of what you have done. And Lord, we know that in you we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. He earned it for us. He is worthy. You are worthy of our praise. So we give you our praise. And God, I would ask in the weeks ahead here that you would give us additional insight and understanding into these glorious truths in your word, that you would soften and mold our hearts, that we might live out a great spirit of gratitude. Thank you, God. That we would honor you, that we would walk worthy of the calling we have in Christ Jesus. Not because you're a God who has set forth all these rules that you want us to live up to, but because you're a God who has richly blessed us in the heavenlies and is worthy then of our faith and obedience. And we find blessing then in obeying you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.